I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Friday, it's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and it's going to be such a great day today. Yes, I will talk about the jobs numbers. We're going to touch on that. It's bad. I realize that it's bad, and we're going to talk about why it's bad, why you can't find a job, but they say the market's doing well. We'll address that tonight. We have asked Dr. Jesse questions on everything from history. No, I'm not going to do Battle of Midway talk tonight. Okay, maybe I'll do a little Battle of Midway talk. A little. Don't get your hopes up. It's nothing like last night. My last meal. Why does it feel like everything's rotting around us? The oceans that have always protected us, are they still protecting us? What's going to happen if Trump wins? Is that enough of a disincentive for the left's insanity? All that and so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Before we get to the questions, I want to go ahead and knock this out right off the top. Jobs numbers came in, unemployment's up, it's bad. Okay, the economy is bad. It doesn't look good. And once again, we have a number, and this is it. For native-born workers, native-born Americans, American citizens, they're down 663,000 jobs. Foreign-born workers, illegals, mainly illegals, but foreign-born workers are up 414,000 jobs. American citizens have lost over 600,000. Foreign-born workers are down 400,000. And this is the gigantic disconnect between the economists, the media people, the politicians in D.C., and the actual American citizen. So let's talk about what's happening on a bigger level. Why does it feel to you, to me, like the economy's bad? Like economically, financially, we're in a bad place. Yet every single day you turn on the news and some apparatchik on CNN is talking about how great things are. And I don't understand why these Americans are complaining. What are they complaining about? There's nothing. Look at the stock market. Stock market's up and we're creating new jobs. What's happening? All right, let's first do what we love to do the most, not individual stories. Let's zoom out. Let's go 30,000 feet. On a 30,000-foot level, the country is being taken away from you. I know that sounds maybe dramatic, melodramatic, but every metric proves that to be the case. The American citizen, he is viewed by the corporate leaders, the globalist corporate leaders we have, by the politicians in the Democrat Party and the leaders of the Republican Party, by all the elites in our society, they view the American citizen now, the native-born American citizen, at best, he's kind of annoying, or at least somebody to be ignored. At worst, they view him as the enemy, as hostile to who they are. And this takes many, many, many different forms. So you know what? Let's focus on the corporate America form. We'll set aside the politicians for a moment. Let's focus on corporate America. And this can get that we're not going to get too in the weeds here. We're just kind of doing a zoom out of it. Let's take a company you would consider maybe American or at least formerly American. You know, here's a great example because you don't buy it anymore, at least I hope. Budweiser, Anheuser-Busch. What happened? What has happened over the years? Because Budweiser was
America, baby. Started by the Americans. This is an American company, Budweiser. Over the decades, businesses will want to expand. That's what they do. They'll want to grow. They'll move on. Family businesses will cease being family businesses as the kids and their kids after them and their kids after them have less of an affinity for the business. They like the money. Hey, I like the yacht, the private jets. I'm not all that into all the work thing. And slowly but surely, over time, these businesses have ceased being American businesses and they've become global businesses. Budweiser was sold to, I believe it was a Swedish company, if I remember right. It's certainly European. It was not America. GME, if I remember right. I'm doing this off the top of my head. Budweiser was sold off. It's not even American anymore. Not owned by Americans anymore. Okay, so now you're this global corporation. You're not an American corporation. You're a global corporation. You purchased Budweiser. All right, well, what affinity do you have to Americans or American citizens? You don't have any of that. You're a gigantic global company. You buy companies all over the planet. What matters to you? The bottom line, baby. That's all that matters to you. And that's fine if you run a business that way. But what happens is when you only care about that and the leaders of your company have no affinity to Americans, you will get a situation where American citizens are crowded out and pushed out of the job market. Now, how does that happen? Well, the gigantic corporations, the Budweisers of the world, they go to the politicians, Democrats and Republican leaders, and they sit Joe Biden down and they sit Mitch McConnell down and they say, hey, we just started Budweiser Pack. I'm making this up, but it's very, very similar to how it goes. We just started Bud Pack. And I want you to know, Joe, we got $100,000 for your reelection campaign. Getting ready. Get ready. The Budweiser money's coming, Joe. Hey, Mitch, we got $100,000 coming for your campaign. But just a heads up, though, guys. We need some different workers, you see. We have these American workers. And, I mean, they're fine. They work hard, and it's great, and they speak English and all that. But, gosh, if we could bring in, I don't know, 5,000-10,000 people from India, Mexico, we could pay them a lot less. Our bottom line looks good. Your campaign coffers look good. Everybody wins here, don't they, Joe? Don't they, Mitch? It's a win for me. It's a win for you. And so where does that go from there? Remember, it was like 15 minutes ago. James Lankford and Mitch McConnell came up with a huge amnesty plan that kept the border open and amnestied a bunch of illegals. You see, the country is being torn from the hands of the American citizen. It is being handed to global corporation and immigrants, mostly illegal immigrants, I should point out. We're not talking legal immigrants here who make up, they don't make up as much of the workforce as people think. But even that, when we're talking about visas and things like that, even that can be bad. Remember, there was a story a few years back. Maybe you remember this. Maybe you don't. It ended up being a controversy that hit the headlines. Disney, that soulless LGBTQ company, they brought in, I think the number was 2,500. Don't quote me on that, but I'm almost positive that's right. They brought in 2,500 people. I believe it was from India, but I'm not sure. They brought in 2,500 foreigners. And what were they doing? They brought in 2,500 foreigners. They had 2,500 American employees train the 2,500 foreigners to replace themselves. They trained the foreigners, hired the foreigners, fired the Americans, 2,500 Americans out of work, 2,500 foreigners, full-time employment in the United States of America for an American company like Disney. Now, that's more just some examples there, kind of a 30,000-foot view. But if you want to know why your college graduate son, your college graduate daughter got good grades, great work ethic, good manners, you want to know why they've put in 200, 300, 400 resumes and can't get a call back, they're not interested in you, American. Your son, your daughter will probably want a decent wage. Why would they want to pay your son or your daughter a decent wage? They'll go get click from Guyana or wherever, and they'll pay him pennies on the dollar. Your son, your daughter is a burden, you see. I told you about that story when I was talking to my neighbor a couple weeks ago, and I got a bunch of emails of people going through this after I talked to you about it. His son graduated with perfection in grades. Hard worker, polite. I know the kid. Hard worker, polite, wonderful. He is currently despondent. He put in 200 applications and got one phone call back. But the stock market, of course, looks great. And why does the stock market look great? Because they've killed all the small businesses. They wiped out a third of small businesses in this country during the pandemic. But that business didn't go away. It got hoovered up by all these large Fortune 500 companies. And now that's all the stock market is. The stock market is Microsoft. It's Google. It's BlackRock. It's this. It's that. The stock market is these gigantic corporations. And yeah, the stock market looks great because it's Google. And Google's doing fine. So the economists, the media nerds, they sit down, they look at the economy, and they're saying, what? Why are these people whining? We've got a net positive in jobs, and the stock market's up. These stupid Americans don't know what's best for them. In the meanwhile, you can't afford groceries. Your son just moved back in with you after you sunk $50,000 on a college education. He can't find a job. You can't make ends meet. And these people go on television and scold you every day about how good you have it. And this is being done. The country, not just the economy, the country itself is being torn from the hands of those troublesome Americans and handed to global corporations and immigrants. That's why you think it sucks. And they're like, hey, it's great. That's what you see. All right, let's move on. We got some emails here. Jesse, I was watching Band of Brothers on D-Day and thought I need to double my Tongkat 100 subscription on my Vitality stack, but I have to make sure I get the Jesse Kelly 35% off. I texted the request to a Chalk customer service and got a reply in 2 minutes. Subscription updated. Here's your new price. Have a nice day. All while the band played on. Best customer service experience ever. He says, I never thought I needed Chalk until I decided to give it a try and see, and oh my, total game changer for me at age 52. Mental sharpness was probably the biggest surprise. Thanks for the recommendation and thanks to Chalk for a great product. His name is David. I'll be honest with you, David. When I started taking a male vitality stack, I started taking it just because Chalk partnered with the show. I didn't feel like I was having any problems. Everything was fine. But that is honestly, that's probably the thing that has floored me the most, my mind. I am so much sharper. It's like I didn't know I was in a fog. It feels like it's been lifted. Chalk.com, gentlemen. Natural herbal supplements. Male vitality stack. Get it in your veins. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Truth, attitude, Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. You can email us if you want. We are live here, Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com, and we are about to tackle these questions. I just wanted to go over some of this job market stuff, and I mean, yeah, it's, yeah.
If you look at the unemployment rate, for the first time since January of 22, it hit 4%. Yes, 4%.
That's not good. Anyway, Jesse, please remember and remind folks, the 4th through the 7th of June, 1942, the Battle of Midway, our first decisive victory in the Pacific Theater. Let's cover this here. I'll probably touch on Midway a little bit next hour. I'm really blown away at how much you enjoyed all that D-Day talk last night. Jewish producer Chris told me he stopped printing the emails at some point in time. That's how much you loved that. The emails just poured in. I'm glad you loved it. I loved it. It was an honor to do it. If you missed it, last night's show was different. Probably the first hour and a half of the show, there wasn't even any politics. There wasn't even any politics. We told D-Day story about the 2nd Ranger Battalion and whatnot. I'm I'm blown away and I'm flattered that you enjoyed it. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Okay. We got all kinds of emails like this. Hello, Mr. Kelly. Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Sarah, and I'm a 42-year-old single white woman who lives in Tampa with her cat. I love this girl. I am also a diehard anti-communist. Listen to your podcast, to your show in the morning when I'm getting ready for work. It's a great way to start my day. Had the privilege of meeting you in the book tour. First time I ever met a world-famous author. I'm also a history teacher. While I love the political aspect of the show, I learned so much in the short time I've been listening. My favorite part is anytime you do anything history related. She's going to incorporate that more lessons into her school next year, which is really, really freaking cool. Good for you. Good for you, lady. Anyway, she said, my question is, when did you start loving history? Did you have a teacher that impacted you? Thanks for all you do to keep us informed. And thank you to Jewish producer Chris and producer Michael for your hard job of keeping Jesse focused on what he's doing. You are both the winners.
But my focus is just stay focused.
Yeah, listen. As I've said many, many times before, every single person loves history. Everybody loves history. Some people just haven't figured it out yet, meaning they don't know that they love it yet. When people learn history in school, not all the time, but oftentimes, or they watch a podcast or a documentary, anything involving history, it's names and it's dates and it's locations. It's General Wainwright. He met with his Captain Bob and his mother Angela and their sister-in-law Mike on June 12th, 1942 in Bisbee, Oklahoma. Oh my gosh, who cares? History is stories. And maybe you have a different kind of history you like. It doesn't have to be war history or battles. Or maybe it's art history, music history, language history, American history, African history, Chinese history. There's so much of it out there. You love history. You probably just don't know it yet. And to answer your question, for all of you teachers out there, not just history teachers, look, a good teacher can change the entire course of the rest of your life. You realize that? You good teachers, and I know there are really good teachers who listen to this show. I've met you. You email in. You probably will never know. Honestly, you probably will never know. And I'm sad to say the man I'm about to mention will never know. But I had a history teacher. It was the sixth grade. And up to that point, I hated history too, like everyone else. Oh, gosh, here we go again. And all of a sudden, this giant man, he was the defensive coach on the football team for the high school. He walks in with this long stick and starts slapping the whiteboard and talking about Spartans stabbing people in the face. And he's animated and he's going crazy. And I'll tell you what, you couldn't pry sixth grade Jesse out of that chair. I would have sat there for 8 hours and listened to that guy tell me stories about history. And it doesn't have to be history teachers. If you are putting that kind of time and effort in, it makes more of an impact than you will ever know. And even if it's just one kid, and it'll be way more than one, even if it's just one kid, a great teacher, a great coach, this applies to coaches, you little league coaches and things like that, one great adult in a child's life can change everything. And so I know everyone thinks I hate government schools, and I do, but for all you good teachers out there, private and government, good for you. All right? Now, someone wants to know, Jesse, why does it feel like we're trying to bail water from the ocean? So much looks very bleak for our country. How close are we to Germany pre-World War I? Okay, let's talk about that. Are you in that place? Why is it, this is hopeless. It feels like we can't do it. Let's talk about that in a very real way. Maybe this will make you feel better. Maybe it'll make you feel worse. All right? If it makes you feel worse, that's fine. You still have your MyPillow stuff to sleep in tonight. You'll get a good night's sleep no matter how it makes you feel. And I know that you're just dripping with MyPillow stuff right now, right? Because you have taken advantage of the $25 extravaganza sale, right? $25 extravaganza sales don't come along every day. I've never seen one before. MyPillow took a list of their best products and they put a $25 price tag on them. Two packs of multi-use MyPillows, $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. MyPillow 6-piece towel sets, $25, and the Grand Poobah, the big cheese, the great MyPillow, the new one with the Giza fabric, any size, $25. MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener special square and use the promo code Jesse. Or you can call them 800-845-0544. Are we bailing water from the ocean? Hang on.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. Both Nate and I are journalists who moonlight as poker players. We've both won, and I have to say lost, hundreds of thousands of dollars playing poker. And poker is a lens that we're going to use to approach this entire show, because poker isn't just about playing cards. It's actually about how to make good decisions. It's an entire framework for thinking about the world.
In addition to poker, we'll be talking about the wide world of gambling, so sports betting, for example, plus the news, politics, it is an election year, and personal decisions, too.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
Tune into Risky Business every Thursday.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. If you missed our long D-Day history show we did last night, that's where you can find it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. It's all free. Remember, all the podcasts is free. The show is free. That's how I want it done, and that's how I prefer it to stay forever. There are kind of two different ways you can do this. You can have an advertiser-supported show people consume for free, or you can have no advertisers and have some kind of paid subscription. I don't want to force people to pay money for this stuff. So there, that's why we're doing it the way we're doing it. I'm going to get to bailing water from the ocean. Someone's a little despondent about where we're at and as a country, feels a little hopeless. I'll get to him in a second, but I was just talking to Chris about this, Chris and Michael, during the break. Everyone knows that Waffle House breakfast is elite. Everyone knows that. That's not exactly some breaking news thing. Waffle House breakfast is phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. As good as it gets. What most don't know, but the menu whisperer does know, the menu whisperer would be me, for you new listeners, I'm the greatest orderer of food on the planet. What, Chris? The Waffle House cheeseburger is one of the top five restaurant cheeseburgers on the planet. Get some of the special Waffle House mayo. It's a Chipotle mayo. I hate to give away their secrets, but get some of the Waffle House. Oh, see, even Chris says it's good. Chris doesn't even like mayo. Get some of that Waffle House mayo on there. Oh, gosh. Add bacon to it. Hey, Chris, not for you, but everyone who's not Jewish, add some bacon to it. I'm telling you, as good as it gets. Now let's get back to the heavier stuff. This was the Ask Dr. Jesse question. Dictator Jesse, why does it feel like we're trying to bail water from the ocean? So much looks very bleak for our country as a whole. How close are we to Germany pre-World War I? Very concerning and close to depressing. Very little hope. Okay. Well, allow me to take away all of your hope and then give you some different hope. See, hope is one of those funny things, and there have been a million stories written about hope, where hope is the central theme, warnings about hope, cheering hope, hope's bad, hope's good, all these other things. But here's the truth. Hope is wonderful as long as your hope is in the right things. Hope is awful, disastrous, a horrible, horrible way to live if your hope is in the wrong things or things that can't happen or won't happen. It's all a matter of figuring out where to place your hope. Now, let's talk about it as a country. And you know, this is me. I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you. I'm going to give it to you right between the eyes. And just stay with me, because I think you'll probably feel better at the end of this. when it comes to the United States of America, the country I so love, I would die for it still to this day. I can't help it. I love my country. I'm the dork who still gets misty when the national anthem plays. You know, last night on that D-Day show, when we played that Army Ranger, that salty old Army Ranger, when we played a couple times on the show, we played him singing this Ranger ballad. When I first saw that at my house, I was at the house doing some prep work for the show so I could give you a good history story. I got choked up. This is me. I don't even cry. I got choked up. I love my country. That said, our country is, I'm not going to say on the back end. You know, we're not going to be gone in a couple years. I'm not saying that at all. But nations, empires, they don't last forever. It doesn't matter how big they are, how wonderful they are, how powerful they are. Look, you like history. I like history. Even if you hate it, you at least know history. Empires, even ones that look like they can never die. If you had told people the Roman Empire at the height of its power, if you told them that empire was 100 years away from the Vandals kicking down the gates of Rome, they probably would have put you in whatever the ancient Roman version of an asylum was, because nobody would ever believe it. Can't happen. We are Rome. The British Empire, I will set the Romans aside. The British Empire, honestly, leading up to World War II, was still huge. Territories all over the place. India, you know, they're just huge. This massive, massive empire. And if you had told people, yeah, right about the Revolutionary War time, if you had told people this British Empire would shrink in just a relatively short amount of time, in a couple hundred years, the British Empire, it's going to kind of be an island in the crappy North Atlantic, and that's about it. They would have thought you were insane. But that's how it goes. That's how it goes. And that's how it's going for us. We, for a laundry list of reasons, we lost our way. But maybe the easiest, most simple explanation is time got to us the way time has gotten to every empire. All these empires that begin to fade and crumble and go away. Yes, there are similarities. There are always the lack of patriotism from the people who lead the empires is one of those things that is constant throughout all of them. Almost every one of them, they share that in common. You see that now with ours. There's no love of country there in these people. So there are common traits, but they all have their own story. Eventually, time gets to you. The United States of America is in a very, very bad way. And trust me, I'm going to follow this up with some hope. Believe me, just stay with me. We are in a terrible way. And to answer kind of your question, no, I do not believe we will get the band back together again. The United States of America, 50 states, Constitution, all those things, I believe it is gone and it will never return. I don't believe it can return. You can't have this many people, especially this many leaders in your society, hate the society and then patch it back up again. You're not an election away from having everything, all the wrongs be righted. That's not possible. It's not, honestly, people will put that because Trump creates this love in people because he's so charismatic. People will put that on him. And to be honest with you, that's unfair to Trump. There's no man alive who has ever lived, actually, who could walk into the White House in this country, in this situation, and get things right. Not in 4 years, not in 8 years, not in 12 years. It's not possible. You're asking, you're wanting something from someone that they can't possibly do. The 50-state United States of America is gone. That does not mean all hope is lost. That does not mean it's over. That does not mean your life is going to be ruined or awful, or the lives of your children or their children after them. What it means is we have to begin placing our hope in different things. We have to begin adjusting our expectations for what our lives, our country, and everything else looks like. Our problem is now, and I suffer from this too, okay? Our problem is now we love this place so much that we have a hard time accepting certain realities. Now, let's set all that aside. That was the ugly part of it. Let's talk about the good part of it, because there is a lot good. There's a lot bad, no question, but there is a lot good. Now that I brought everybody down, let's bring you back up, all right? Speaking of bringing you back up, the dog is ridiculous. Do you want to know the text message I just got? My mom just hit town. She's visiting for the weekend, hang out with me. Or who am I kidding? She's not here to hang out with me. She's here to hang out with the kids and the dog, Fred. Fred loves my mom. She loves Fred. She shows up with toys for the dog and no toys for anyone. I'm not making this up. She'll walk in with toys for the dog. I'm not even kidding. And when she leaves, he's just despondent. He'll lay by the front door for a couple days wanting her to come back. And if that wasn't bad enough, my mom sends a text message as soon as she hits town. This just happened. She sends a text message that I just landed at the airport. And I kid you not, my sister texts back. This is verbatim. I'm looking at it. Have fun. Send pictures of Fred. That was the request. Dog pictures. This is what this fluffy idiot has done to the entire family. This is why we give Fred rough greens. Because everyone loves him, including me. He's just, look, that's what dogs do for us. They make our lives better. Start your dog on Rough Greens so your dog can live longer. That's what Rough Greens is. 833-33-MY-DOG or roughgreens.com/Jesse.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. We're talking about the state of America right now and digging into this stuff. And someone says we're trying to bail water from the ocean. And I just kind of laid it out in a very extremely heavy way.
It is as heavy as 10 boxes that you might be moving.
Where I feel like we are as a country. And no, I don't feel like we're getting the band back together again. However, that was that. Now let's set that aside. Just because your life and my life and the lives of my children and your children and their children after them, just because it will look different and in many ways worse than the lives our parents and their parents had, that does not mean that all hope is lost. You know why we feel hopeless? And I'm pointing fingers at myself. On occasion, when we feel down or we feel hopeless about the state of the country, I'll tell you this, I am very guilty of this. Here's what I'm actually lamenting. I'm lamenting that I don't get to live in the country I want to live in. I don't get to live in the country that I had even when I was just a kid. I was, my wife and I this morning, we were hanging out with the boys, we were having breakfast, we were joking and things like that, and my wife and I were talking in front of them about old movies, like older movies that the boys had never seen that we loved. You ever seen the movie Crocodile Dundee? I'm sure Chris and Michael probably haven't. Michael hasn't, Chris has. But if you are of a certain age, everyone saw Crocodile Dundee. They don't make movies like that anymore. They just don't. They don't make movies like that anymore. I want to live in the Crocodile Dundee America, and because now I don't, now, because I want to live in the country I don't have, I can allow that to get me down. But that is not right. Unless this happened to you, I'll tell you one thing that has most definitely never happened to me. It has never happened to me. God has never said to me, Jesse, you are going to get to live in the same country your parents did, in the same country your grandpa did. That country is going to be held together. And it's going to be good, and it's going to just be a wonderful place. God has never told me that. We do not get to pick the era of human history God gives us. However long we are on this planet, however long, Maybe you die young, 10 years. Maybe you die old. Maybe you're 100. You, me, we were not given votes on the period of time we live in, and we are not given this period of time by accident. God, no, I don't care if you're 85 right now or 5. God puts you in this time and place on purpose. He didn't trip and spill you onto this time and place. You are put here with the skills you have, with the gifts you've been given. You are put here. I am put here on purpose. And I need to remind myself of that when I look around and start to lament all the filth and everything in this country, in this culture. And think about this if you want to feel even better about that. You know, here's how I want to explain this. All we have is the struggle. Right now, I am struggling against all this. You are struggling against all this. We are figuring out how best to struggle. How do we fight? What's the right way to fight? And we are fighting as hard as we possibly can. That does not mean we will see final victory, because we will not. It will take too long to get there. My lot in life is this. I will fight all this garbage for as long as I can. Maybe it's doing radio, TV, maybe I'll get fired. Maybe I'm supposed to do something else, whatever it may be. I will fight this filth for as long as I can. And when I'm out of energy or out of life or God takes me home, then guess what? It's my son's turn. Step up, buck up, and now you fight. The struggle is what we have to put our hope in. I will die never having seen final victory in this country or this culture. I am 42. It will never happen in my lifetime. If you're 10, it will never happen in your lifetime. I have embraced the struggle. We must embrace the struggle. Yeah, that's a great quote, Chris. Chris brought up that John Adams quote, and it's one of the great quotes in all of human history. I lean on it. I study war and politics so my sons may study mathematics and philosophy. Whenever I feel hopeless or down, it's because I'm craving an easier life than the one God gave me. I was not given that. An easier country, I should say. My life is fine. Don't worry about that. I'm not complaining about my life. I'm craving something I was not given, but I don't have a right to that. I don't. That's not an automatic. That's not the country I was given. Now I have to fight to try to make it that way. And remember this. Please remember this. Leading up to November and the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. As I've said a million times, saving the country is not an event. It's a process. This guy said it feels like we're bailing water from the ocean. Maybe we are. Maybe we're not. But we bail or the ship goes down. Maybe we will succeed. Maybe we will fight a million battles. Maybe we'll lose 500,000 and win 500,000. Maybe in the end we will see final victory. Maybe we will not. But don't we have to try? If you're going to sit and put your hope in America coming back to what it was, the America you've always known, then you're probably putting your hope in something that's not going to come. And whenever I get down, and you've heard me on the air down before, when I sit back and look at it after a show and I'm feeling down and I realize I'm down driving home, and my wife can usually tell, if I'm down on the air, I'm down at home. Like, that's how I feel. It's not you. I'm right here with you. You know how I feel. If I'm down, it's because I'm wanting something that I don't have a right to. I don't have a right to demand it. All right? This is the country we've been given. Fall in love with the struggle, because the struggle is what we have. We are fighters now till the day they bury us. All right? All right. I got this email. Dear Mister, I take chalk to increase my T levels, but still shower like a woman. I hate you guys. Anyway, the subject of this one is putting my money where my morals are. This dude was donating to a charity And they started putting out all kinds of DEI garbage. So he canceled his donations and changed his name. Get this. He changed his name with their company to Mr. No More LGBTQ Support From Me. That was his name. Anyway, he said, my money will now be going to Tunnel to Towers. Biggest selling point for me, besides you, is that their executives make a $0 salary. That's when you know they care about their mission. I have been involved in the nonprofit world. I have never seen the people who run a nonprofit take as little as Tunnel to Towers takes. They take virtually nothing. It's for the veterans. It's for the fallen first responders, the Gold Star families, and all they ask is $11 a month. Go to T2T.org and sign up. T2T.org. We still have hours left. Hang on.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.